worship you, Jesus. All the glory and all the honor. We magnify you. We exalt you, Jesus. There's none like you. We praise and glorify you from the beginning of our day to the end. And even while we rest and sleep, Lord, our spirits are postured towards the worship of heaven, to always in a place of download. And Father, we thank you because we're lifting him up. You're always able to come and commune with our born-again natures. We love you, Jesus. We exalt you. We give you all the glory and all the praise, all honor. All glory. All the honor and all the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're going to turn you loose and go back into that in just a little bit. We may have some confessions in between. I believe he wants me to just read a few scriptures here and say a few things and then get you started right back into worship and praying in tongues. Why don't you turn to Corinthians? Usually on Friday nights, a lot of Friday nights, we don't have any scripture at all. We just pray. Seems like he wants to say something, remind us of something. 1 Corinthians 14 and 2 Corinthians 7. Hallelujah, Jesus. We give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your wisdom. 2 As I said, reminding you of certain things that you've received before, because some of this is familiar ground to most of us. Especially chapter 14, 1 Corinthians. Verse 18. Paul said this, speaking of himself. He said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all. Yet in the church, now this whole chapter, he's just vacillating back and forth. He's kind of just ping-ponging back and forth about teaching proper protocol in the church when you're praying in tongues. Times that you do and times that you don't, or vocally. He teaches on private worship or private praying in tongues, and he teaches on corporate praying in tongues. So this is what he's trying to get across to us here in verse 19. And again, 18 says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the corporate setting or in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others. And the most important word in that whole verse of 19 is the word also. That I might teach others also. Then 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So Paul is teaching them proper protocol, but he's teaching them something far greater than that. Because what he's teaching them is the same thing that he began to say in preface in verse 5 and 6 of that same chapter. Boy, I love this. He said, I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. And again, he's talking about the corporate setting. For greater is he that prophesy than he that speak with tongues, except he interpret. Why? So you understand what's being said, that the church may receive edifying. And he says, now let me give you an example. Now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? He said, if I come in or I'm standing speaking in tongues, what's that going to profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation, knowledge, prophecy, or doctrine. But what you got to understand here is this. What he's saying here in 6 is the same thing he says in 18 and 19. What he says, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what he's telling us here is this, is that the tongues is the preface or the tongues is the foundation for him to come and speak with revelation, knowledge, prophesying, or doctrine. It's the whole foundation. Because tongues is a revelation gift. But he says, if I come and stand there and speak to you in tongues, I'm not profiting you. But nevertheless, in all essence, this is where it's flowing from. This is where it's coming out of. And he makes it real clear in 19. He says, in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also, meaning I already got it. But you also, so you can get it. I've already got, obviously, the teacher. Teaching is transferring the image that's on the inside of you to someone else. It's just that simple, if you're a teacher. And if you receive a doctrine, prophecy, which is all teaching, revelation, it's all getting the image from you to someone else. And Paul says, I've already got it. But also, meaning, so you can get it. But where did I get it from? Same place he's talking about in 5 and 6. He says, again, yet in the church I'd rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also, so the rest of the church gets it, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So he cites there. He just capsulizes the whole thing and says, same thing he says in 6. I could come to you speaking with tongues because it's revelation, but it won't edify you. But I'll speak to you in a language you can understand. I'll speak to you with doctrine so you go away edified, saying, I understand more about God than I ever did more than I did when I came in. But the basis of it was the tongues that he came with, that he forfeited during that time, and said, I won't speak the tongue. But nevertheless, it's the basis of my doctrine. It's a revelation gift. I've already got the revelation gift. And I could stand here, and the equivalency of me giving you the revelation would be for me to stand here and pray 2 hours in tongues. But I've already done that. So it wouldn't profit you for me to stand here and do that. Because while I'm praying in tongues, those 2 hours, I'm getting something from God. It's a communication process. It's a revelation gift. So he's saying, I've already done my homework. I've already prayed my 2 hours or 3 hours or whatever. And the reason why I cited 2 hours was somebody really did really calculate out how many words somebody will speak. Because, you know, praying in tongues is words, it's sentences, it's paragraphs, and it's all a mystery. And this is why when you pray it out, the Holy Spirit may have you praying a mystery out that you need downloaded in your spirit. And you may pray it out for days. Sometimes you may pray it out for weeks. Sometimes you'll get the download right then. But somebody calculated it out. Dave Roberson, actually, and he counted his words on a natural pace. And this is what we teach everybody. We say, pray at a good, even pace that you don't wear yourself out. And if you pray at that good, even pace, you say, well, if I pray in tongues fast, will I get more done? Well, you'll say more words. Yeah, and you're actually passing more mystery through your spirit. But if you pray at a good, even pace, he calculated that out. At about, I think he did 2 or 3 minutes and then times that. And he found out that in about 2 hours, like what a normal church setting would be, you pray about 10,000 words in an unknown language. So isn't that amazing what Paul wrote there? He basically was saying, I could come into a church service and speak for 2 hours. And I could expect that I'm getting some kind of download. I might have to wait a day or two to understand the full mystery. But I've already prayed the hours in the Spirit. So I can come in here. I've already got the mystery. So that you can have it also, I'll forfeit the 10,000 words now. It's not going to do you any good. Well, say, Why are you telling us this? Because you need to know how important praying in tongues is. It truly is a revelation gift. This is revelation written. Absolutely. And you need to read it. But you've got to understand that you've got a teacher that goes right along with a textbook. And before the textbook was ever written, when they gathered like this in small homes in the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th century, way up until there ever was this that you could put in your lap, they only had the canon of Scripture, the Old Testament. And for them to know the doctrine, to know the mind of Christ and what Jesus would be speaking, that's why He said, let the prophets prophesy by course and let others judge. But the praying in tongues was, it was a revelation gift whereby the other ones sitting by, when they began to speak doctrine, because you say, well, they could have just checked it out with 1 Peter or 1 Corinthians. It wasn't there. They couldn't check it out. But they had to have something that bears witness. They had to have something to say, oh, but I don't know about that. Well, see, that's the same way it works today. You might not have, now, this is no excuse for not having a lot of word in you. You might not have a lot of word in you, but you can be highly inoculated against deception. Highly inoculated against deception. In fact, you could be born again, Spirit-filled, and live your life in a jungle with no Bible, come to America, you wouldn't have much revelation knowledge. You couldn't teach a class, per se. But if they set you down in front of most TVs, you'd want to watch a movie rather than a preacher. Because most people would say, this don't bear witness, and I don't feel much in this. Because praying in tongues is a revelation gift. It's supposed to go hand in hand with the Word of God on you knowing the mind of Christ. Isn't that very important for you on a daily basis? You can pray in tongues a lot. And you can go back to a preacher that you used to listen to or grew up with as a child and you thought he was the greatest. And all of a sudden you'll start saying, in fact, you may say, oh, you got to listen to this guy. You got to listen to this guy. And if you hadn't listened to him in 4 or 5 months or a year and you've been praying in tongues a lot, you may turn him on and all of a sudden or listen to an old, you know, cassette or something and you'll say, man. Or listen to something new and say, man, he's got an off night or he's got a bad, or he's changed his style. They're not the one changing. If you're praying in tongues, you're the one changing. And something inside of you just don't give you the kick that it used to. Well, that other scripture that I told you to turn to is in 2 Corinthians 7. 1, and it says this, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh. And look at this. He says, and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, this is amazing scripture here, but you and I understand it because we went over it before. But just to go over it again, he says, cleansing ourselves of all filthiness of flesh and spirit. Now, flesh, I could pretty much understand that. That's drinking, swearing, running around with bad boys and bad girls. That's the flesh. Cussing, bar hopping. That's flesh. But wait a minute. He's writing to Christians, cleansing yourself of all filthiness of flesh and spirit. Now, wait a minute. My flesh, I understand about the flesh, but my spirit is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's a born again, my spirit. In that sense, the Word is created in the same class as God. It has holiness, righteousness in it. That's right. But what your spirit can, you've got to understand what it was created with was this. It was created in righteousness, holiness, and it just like a computer chip, it innately just has programmed inside of it. It has a great capacity to pool and hold a lot, a reservoir of the love of God. That's why worship, it loves to worship. It also can pool and reservoir revelation knowledge. It has a strong desire for truth. It's not statistical. Your spirit's not statistical, meaning it just won't, you can't just look inside of it and it'll give you a name and an address. But you can't ask the Holy Spirit and He'll come and tell you. But just the program, just the computer chip itself has the moral code of the law in it, meaning you don't even know the scripture, but you know if something's right or wrong. You know it's wrong to lie or cheat or steal or run around and those kinds of things. But then when it goes to the active side of following God, your spirit loves worship. And it loves truth. But if it can be taught, if a spirit can be taught, it can also be taught wrong. It can also be taught wrong. And if it doesn't have something to inoculate it against deception, it'll be taught wrong and it'll believe wrong. You say, well, a Baptist that says the tongues are not for today or the tongues are for the devil. You say, well, he doesn't believe that in his spirit because his spirit's born again. No, he believes it. He believes it. It's been taught to him. It's a filthiness of spirit. But praying in tongues will bleach out wrong doctrine. It'll bleach it out. And I'll tell you, one of the things, the greatest things that he ever gave us, along with the Word of God, is just the simple gift of you praying the mysteries of God. And the time that you spend. I was on my couch recently in here, and the Lord whispered two things to me. It's not like I didn't do them and hadn't heard them. He said, pray in tongues, and worship. Now, when he did that, my spirit knew, because I know him enough, he wasn't saying, negate the Word of God. He wasn't, but he was highlighting, he was putting something on it. He meant something for me at this point in my life to just strike a good, even trot in the Spirit and stay there. Pray in tongues. And I asked him not too long ago, because I was real. It was one of those tender moments where you're all glassy-eyed and you're crying and you say, God, you're almost like, what do you want? What is it can I give you in myself that'll get me that much closer to fulfilling my destiny for revival? What is it? And I was really postured. I was poised to the point that, I was expecting almost anything. Go into one of those long fast or do this or do that. It came back to me so strong that when he said it, it had letters. I saw it with letters. I heard it and I saw it with letters. Do you know what he said with one word? He said, time. He said, time. He said, I want your time. That's what I want. I said, oh my God. Time. And he coupled it with that praying in the Spirit and worship. I was telling Matt the other day, I coupled it with something else. I'm not a runner, really. Some of you know I've been dabbling in it, enjoying it. And for the first time in a long time, I beat my neighbor last Saturday in a 5-mile run. So I was like, wow, this is it. But I do subscribe to Runner's World. And so I run a certain amount of miles each week, even being a kind of a big guy and me and Pablo lifting. But Runner's World, I've learned something for the last 2 or 3 years sitting there reading those articles. And it's interesting for me to read about those guys that will run all those marathons. 26 miles and 2/10. But there's a lot of guys that will run a lot further than that. The Badlands marathons and ultra marathons. Ultra marathoners will run 200-300 miles. But a marathoner, they're in great shape. Great shape. And I found out what being in shape was. That's another thing I learned. It surprised me. A lot of things correlated with it. But we say, well, that guy's in good shape. That girl's in really physical good shape. I found out it wasn't weight to your height. It wasn't even body fat. All those things correlated with it. What I found out was they've got a calculation. It's a VO2. Has something to do with oxygen. Maybe it's vitalization of oxygen. Because what it is, they measure how much your body over rigorous exercise, continuous exercise, can take in oxygen, assimilate it into your body, and use it for stamina. So you could actually be a 5 foot or 6 foot guy that weighed 250 pounds and a guy 130 pounds. You could be in better shape than him. Being skinny didn't even make it. It was your VO level or how often. Well, why are you telling me all that? Because they found out that marathoners, guys that really got in good shape, once they got in great shape, good shape, and they could really run, if they wanted to increase it, if they wanted to increase their time when they entered races, it wasn't just anymore finishing the 26 miles. They knew they could do the 26 miles. They wanted to get fast at it, and they wanted to run with the elite. Well, they could go. What they do then is they start fast track training. They'll go to the track 1 or 2 days a week and do sprints, and they'll do certain 800 meter sprints and stuff, or they'll run for 400 meters real fast, and that'll change your ability to run fast. But do you know what the only thing is that really keeps, like, the main thing, the real basic thing that keeps that VO, that level of being in shape where you're able to utilize and stay there, is just the basic foundation, and those guys know it, they've got to put in so much time every week. They've got to put in, when they do that, they don't worry about how fast they're running. They just strike a good, fun run pace and stay at it. They don't worry about what time they're going to... They just start. And that's some of my funnest times. Well, I won't look at the watch. I'll just get out and I won't run so hard I run out of breath. But I'll just run and run and run and run and run. And if I get tired, I'll stop and walk for a few minutes and just keep... But the foundation was this. Well, the only thing I'm saying is this. They have to, a marathoner has to, he can't just practice at the track. His main foundation is he's got to put in the miles. He's just got to strike a good even trot or a good even jog and just put the miles in. And for us to receive revival and for you to stay, I'll tell you, I've had a few good times in the last couple of weeks where I'd hit some kind of thermal and I'd go to a place in the spirit where maybe I'd weep and really feel the presence of God. But most of it was just sitting under a presence and just putting in those long hours or as much. When God said time, all He was saying is, son, as much as you can salvage of your day, put into this. Put into this. So a lot of times people are wanting a real shocker of an experience. I'll tell you, quick charges are not nearly as good as slow charges. They're not. You can go to the altar and get a, and thank God it'll bring you out of sometimes. It'll shock you out of something. But I'll tell you, the stronger you are is when you just get in the spirit and you say, well, I'm not even looking for a real kind of emotional experience. I'm just going to sit here and pray in tongues. And pray in tongues, and pray in tongues, and I've been vacillating with it. I'm just sharing with you what He's been with worship and praying in tongues, and worship and praying in tongues. And when you do, you're forming that base in your life. You're forming that base where peace, He can get more peace over to you. He can get more strength over to you. You're building a durability about yourself that makes you real strong. It's real hard for the devil to really just come along with anything and trip you up. And it just boils down to just simple time. Just simple time. Just staying in there. Setting the pace that you can run with and going with it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. So, Father, we just worship You. The revelation gift. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, man, I'm so... glad you're all here. We're going to give you time to just sit there and pray in just a little bit. We want to use your authority, though. Because you're sitting here, and you know the people that really want to are here. So nobody drug you here. And so it's a good indication that your authority is intact. So what we're going to do is confession is a powerful, powerful weapon. It's real strong when it's attached to your spirit. See, here's where worship is so strong. A lot of people have died. They've died saying one thing with their mouth. Sometimes preachers that are on the circuit that I know, they're sick. And if I named them, you'd know who I was talking about. And they went around for years, not under pretense, but under a good anointing, getting masses healed. Well, a lot of times you'll watch people like this, they'll go to their grave sick, and they'll say, "My God, well, Satan really wanted to prove God wrong." Well, he does, but that's not the way it's supposed to end. You're supposed to go home healthy. Well, here's where worship profits you and I, so much. Worship attaches a person to the other end of that confession with a strong identity. You can say one thing, and the only reason why it'll ever work, if you say it enough, is that your heart, at some point, it drops down in your spirit and you really begin to believe it. So there is a powerful message in saying it and saying it again, that hopefully at some point in time, that it drops down in that place where faith is at, and it's supercharged by faith, and it really goes and supersedes the disease. Well, here's where worship. A lot of them could hardly ever make that transition. They'd say something with their mouth, and I'm not talking about hours of confession. I'm talking about corporately, outwardly, they'd say something to people, or to, you know, they would teach. They would teach, because the people I'm thinking of would teach on healing and yet die of diseases. But it's one thing to say it with your mouth. It's another thing to get to a place where you believe it in your heart. Saying it over and over again in worship will. But here's an advantage, a tremendous advantage in your confession with worship, is it attaches a real strong presence and personality on the other end of that confession. Now you're aiming it at someone. Instead of just saying it, you're aiming it at the one who's able to produce it. Hallelujah. That's where it's real strong. So worship, when you worship Him and magnify Him, and then out of that say your confessions, boy, it really, it's hitting pay dirt. It can really, really supercharge things. Glory be to God. Well, we're understanding a lot more, aren't we? Hallelujah. So, I'm going to ask maybe Matt, you want to come now? And I don't know what, maybe do a page or two or three or whatever, and then ask Gay to maybe do a couple pages or something. But here's what I've told you before. Here's where our confessions will work, just like I just explained, and here's where it puts you in a real comfortable posture. Let the person doing the reading do the work for you. You know, you close your eyes, and your brain doesn't even have to think about what you're saying as much as you're producing it out of your heart. Visualize. Visualize. They'll speak it and then we'll repeat it. Visualize the kids getting out of wheelchairs or the thousands coming. You speak those things into existence out of that new nature. It'll come to pass. We'll have, God honors His Word. He honors His Word. And as far as I know, all these confessions are backed up by the Word of God. I haven't heard any of them that you can't trace to a Scripture. So we're going to say these things and let them do the work. And you just sit there. You can close your eyes. You can visualize the very thing that we're speaking. Hallelujah. And then we'll let you go back to worship and praying in tongues. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I thank you that you're the one called faithful and true. And we don't speak these words in vain, Lord. We do speak them unto you and direct them unto you. We bask in the light of your glory, Jesus. I love you so much. I thank you for your word. That your word is spirit and life. That your word is true. It won't pass away. We can build our life on the rock of it, Lord. We thank you for it. Give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, I worship you. I glorify you. I praise your holy name. You're not a man that you could lie. You've exalted your word above your name. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word will never pass away. Therefore I say, your glory is present at the Family Prayer Center. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. 1,000 people born again every week at the Family Prayer Center. We are able to get along with each other while the Father works revival in our midst. We have that kind of worship that takes us beyond the veil of the flesh in order that we may worship in spirit and in truth. We worship you, Father, out of our new nature. We give you family worship as your sons and daughters. Oh, we thank you for that, Father. Thank you for the day. Thank you for the day, Lord, for that new nature, the spirit of adoption whereby we call you Father. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. And we thank you again that it is your revival that you're working in our midst. It's not by our effort. It's not by the sweat of the brow or the toil, Lord. It's in surrender that you have your way. We thank you for it. Father, at the Family Prayer Center, those that come will see a people transformed to the nature of Christ. Father, we say, in the name of Jesus, that no person ever leaves the Family Prayer Center the same way they came. Every person that comes receives a touch from the Good Shepherd. Hallelujah. Father, those that come, those who are beaten down, discouraged, worn out and tired, they'll not leave that way. They'll be encouraged, strong and mature. They'll leave standing upright, their shoulders squared, their heads held high, going forth as a mighty army to take this planet for your kingdom in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that your glory fills every service. Every person that comes drinks of your glory. They'll leave as earthen vessels filled with your glory, filled with your wisdom, filled with your love, filled with your grace, and anointed by your Spirit. They'll carry your presence with them, and they'll carry revival around this world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we declare. We preach your gospel. We will never settle for man's gospel. Only yours. It's the gospel that saves. The gospel that fills. The gospel that heals. And that's why we say, lost be saved. Empty be filled. Blind see. Lame walk. Deaf hear. Maimed be whole. Dead rise again. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, Jesus. Thank you for those miracles, Lord. Give you all the glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, that is your gospel. And we'll settle for nothing less. We're going for the gold. We have what we say. And we say at every service, the lost are saved. People are filled with the Holy Ghost. The blind see. The lame walk. The deaf hear. The maimed are made whole. And even the dead are raised. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Give you glory for it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your revival. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, that's getting to be more and more of a reality every day. We can see it. We can see it. We can feel it. We can smell it. And we can taste it coming every day. Hallelujah. Thank you for that atmosphere. Thank you for that atmosphere, that heavenly atmosphere. Heaven on earth, Jesus. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Hallelujah, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that more than 12 legions of angels are loose to prepare the way for revival. Angels are dispatched to the four corners of the earth, intercepting and stopping every mission, every assignment of the enemy that would bring forth circumstances against those that would come. Angels change those circumstances, rearrange them, cause money to come, change their schedules. We say every person who's to be here will be here in the name of Jesus. There's no devil big enough, no assignment crafty enough, no circumstances bad enough to keep even one from being here, Father. We declare this house full. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Full. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, I thank you that angels are moving back the forces of darkness over this region, opening up a window of light, 50 miles in every direction, horizontally and vertically. There's a fortress of angels surrounding us, keeping back the darkness. Father, I thank you that angels are dispatched now, softening hearts where hurts have wounded, where calluses have formed, where walls of defense have gone up. Angels, even now, soften the hearts, create atmospheres where the people can hear the voice of their shepherd. Prepare their hearts now so they're ready to receive when they arrive. From the first word spoken, from the first song sung, from the first prayer prayed, to the end of every service, people are free to receive from you, Father. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. The King of Kings has made a decree. We are speaking in His stead. The King has declared, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. The King has decreed, captives, you are free. Every person returns to his original inheritance. That is the born again trail. Father, you've restored our inheritance at the family prayer center. The inheritance is not just known about. We don't just teach about it, but it is received, manifested, and seen to your glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We give you all the glory. We give you all the glory. We give you all the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, you've restored our fellowship with you. The firstborn told us to pray. Father, your will be done on earth, just as it is in heaven. As in heaven, so on earth. As in heaven, so in Immokalee. There are no lost people in heaven. Therefore we say, Immokalee saved. There are no sick people in heaven. Therefore we say, Immokalee's healed. There are no demoniacs in heaven. Therefore we say, Immokalee's delivered. There are no poor people in heaven. Therefore we say, Immokalee is prospered and Immokalee is blessed. Hallelujah, Jesus. We give you all the glory, Jesus. We give you all the glory, Jesus. We thank you that Jesus is Lord over Immokalee. We thank you, Jesus, that you reign in this house and you reign in this city. You reign in this region. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah, Jesus. We give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. With every thanksgiving, Father, we thank you for it. Amen. Hallelujah.
We declare every captive to be free, every wheelchair emptied, all of them, no exceptions, every artificial help, wheelchairs, crutches and canes, hearing aids and glasses, stretchers and bladder bottles. They may have needed them when they came, but they don't need them now. We'll have them here as trophies to the glory of Jesus, our healer, all manner of sickness, all manner of diseases are healed. First time, every time, all of them, no exceptions. Jesus, you healed them all then. You heal them all now. That's what we say. That's what we have. In your name, Jesus. Father, there are impartations of your Spirit in this place. And we declare these are the most powerful, the most anointed, the most life-changing, the most revival-producing services in history. Father, they write books about us to your glory. Fresh anointings, fresh giftings like never before since the book of Acts. Father, it is you doing the works. Therefore, all things are possible. Soul, my soul, I command you Believe this. All things are possible. All things are possible. I say all things are possible. Every backslider will come back to you, Father. And they will never leave you again. And Father, in preparation, I forgive every person their trespasses against me. Father, forgive me all my trespasses against you. I take a bath in the blood of the Lamb in order that my record in heaven be perfect. Therefore I say, because of the blood, because of what Jesus did for me, according to my record in heaven, I have never failed God. Selah. Meditate on that. I have never failed God. I lay down my life that the life of Christ may be manifest in me. I take no offense. I give no offense. And according to my record in heaven, I never have. At the Family Prayer Center, the mind of Christ is delivered to the sheep and to the shepherds. It is delivered with simplicity, with clarity, that the wayfaring fool could not misunderstand it. Therefore, I say, the people at the Family Prayer Center, and especially me, we all understand every word that the pastors teach here. Every need is met, no matter how large, no matter how small. There are no cases too hard. There are no cases too late. And whatever they have come for, whatever they have need of, whatever they seek from Jesus, they get it. All of them. First time. Every time. No exceptions. I declare every captive free. Free in spirit. Free in soul. Free in body. All are delivered. All are restored. Father, you are a provider. Angels are dispatched to gather in all of the finances and everything necessary for this revival. Things known about, things yet to be revealed. Because you are God who answers before we call. Oh, bless you, Father. Bless you, Father. Therefore, we say, there is no lack. We operate from abundance. We operate from surplus. We have all. We abound with many baskets left over. In fact, we have such abundance. We can pay the way for many to come, and many of us to go. We send them out on prosperous journeys for you, Father, for your glory, with abundance in a manner fitting. Servants of the Lord, our financial granaries are full. Oh, because our King has found stewards that he can trust. And I am one of them. Father, if you need anything, come to my house first. Whatever you need of, come to my house first. You know, that's not fair that you guys say that. Father, all I need to know is the Lord has need of it. And it is yours. I've been bought with a price. My life is not my own. I am a first-class servant. Lord, I lay all my possessions. I lay all of my will at your feet. And I say again, Lord, if you need anything, it is yours. And I love you, Lord, with all of my heart, with all of my soul, all of my mind, and all of my strength. And the second commandment is like unto the first. I love my neighbor as myself. I love my good neighbors. I love my bad neighbors. I love my enemies. And Jesus, you are my Savior. You are my Lord. And whatever you ask, that's what I do. I am your servant. I am your bond slave. By my free will choice, I serve you, Lord, by serving these people that you love so much. I serve the good people. I serve the bad people. I serve the mean people. And I especially serve your enemies. Because you are trying to save them all. And you'd like to use me to do it. And all I have is yours. My time is yours. My body is yours. My family is yours. I own nothing. I am your bond slave. Use me as you will. You are provider for me. My family. And all that I have, I am available for your use. So we lift up the blood-stained banner over this city. Written in blood on the banner are these words. Jesus is Lord over Immokalee. Jesus is Lord over Immokalee. Immokalee is in revival. Immokalee is in revival. And where Jesus is, the Father's will is done. Father, have your way, not just 30-fold, not just 60-fold, but 100-fold. And again I say, lost, be saved. Empty, be filled. Captives, go free. Blind, see. Deaf, hear. Lame, walk. Maimed, be made whole. Dead, rise again. In the name of Jesus. Oh, let it be so. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, bless you, Lord. You know, the Father, He's just like us parents when we're getting ready for Christmas. He heaps these good things up for us, and He is not keeping them from us. He is not keeping them from us, and He is so excited, just like we are at this time when we're getting ready and we're getting those gifts ready. He is doing the same thing. Jesus has purchased these things for us, and He delights and He is thrilled at the prospect of the timing when He can give them to us and we can receive them. They'd be manifested. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Father, Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory forever. Your will be done in Immokalee, just as it is in heaven. As it is in heaven, so here on earth. As in heaven, so in Immokalee. Immokalee is saved. We give it to you, Father. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Man, that was powerful. I don't know when I've enjoyed the confessions as much. Maybe never. It's powerful, strong. Thank you for the anointing, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for all of you that just got in there. And hallelujah. Praise God from the beginning to the end, those confessions. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you could feel the strength in all those? I mean, from the very beginning we begin to speak. Hallelujah. Strong. Strong, strong, strong. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, it'll just happen. You know, he just derives enough of that authority. And just like the Father is anticipating. I talked to a man, Matt, and I talked to him in Tulsa one time. And I talked to him a few times on the phone. He's a pastor in Canada. And I'm always interested in talking to a miracle. And he was healed of terminal cancer. And he went in the first time and they operated and they found out that he did have the cancer. And they tried to do what they could. And the first one was more of an investigative kind of operation. When they came out, they told him, if you don't have the second one and we go in there and try to clean up what's there, we can tell you 100% that you're a dead man. You will not make it. By no chance of, no stretch of the imagination, I guess. You know, I'm just telling you how emphatic it was. He was going to die. He said, I came home and I calculated it in the spirit. This is in essence what he said. I just knew, you know, I'm not going to have this. And he gathered his family. He had his wife and three or four kids. And he said, now this is what I'm going to do. See, if you make a choice like that, then you got to do what makes it happen. On the other end of it, you got to do what makes it happen. And he said, I'm not going to have this. And of course, for him to have the operation, no telling what they'd have to remove out of him and body part and this, that, and the other. And he just said, no, I just know in my spirit I can win. I can win. See, where most people die is they'll make that stand, and then they won't do anything about it. Then you got to go do something about it. Then you got to go spend the hours. And so he locked himself up. He told me, I think it was anywhere from 8 to 10 hours a day. He said, well, man, that's a lot of... Well, he's either going to die or do that. You know what I mean? What choice? I mean, you're going to be... you're going to be buzzard bait before long, you know? Just plain out speaking. It's just not, I mean, either. But, you know, a lot of people will die. They make the choice to, you know, do something else. Or they'll appease their conscience by doing a passing kind of in the shower kind of confession, you know, here and there. When it gets tough, now see, here's the deal. The only reason why I'm telling you this, at some point, all of our confessions, like we're confessing tonight, you could feel the umph of the Spirit. You could feel Him behind this. And it was because of what we're doing besides for our confessing. But I talked to Pastor O'Brien, and he's such a humble, soft-spoken man. You just fall in love with him. Anybody would the first time you meet him. And he's not boisterous. He's not braggadocious. He's just very matter of fact. And I said, well, how many? He said, well, it was like 8 or 10 hours every day, every day, every day. I'd walk the floor and confess and confess and confess. And he said, but this is the part I liked. He goes, I can tell you the day it went from just confession and it dropped down. And it just, that's when it happened. It got to a point. He said, I just kept praying every day, every day. At some point. I mean, there wasn't no, you know, mighty angels come into the room and hallelujah and he shall reign for. I mean, it just, no big thing. He just said, at some point, At some point in the middle of his confession, he said, I can tell you, it changed. He said, I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew I was healed. I knew that God's word was real. You could stand on it. It was truth. It's one thing to say it, but it's got to be in that place where all believability, I mean, it goes beyond speculation. And he said, I knew when it dropped in my spirit, and he knew as a matter of fact, before any test results, well, that had been years gone by. And he'd been examined by like three doctors, and they can't find a trace, no trace of cancer. But he walked, and I think it was a year or two that he did that. Wasn't it, Matt? Something like that, a year? Well, we just keep doing this, and we've been doing it. There's going to come a point. It's just going to change. It's going to go from this realm to that realm. And God, it's going to be sweet. Hallelujah. I felt it close enough tonight that I could feel the tingle of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Father, we just worship you. We glorify you and magnify you and thank you for the power in these things. Give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So we're just, we made some tremendous progress here. So we're going to put on something for you to worship by and dim the lights. And there's some coffee in the back if you don't want to stay up all night. There's some decaf tea or something. But just set a pace. Pray in the Spirit. If you missed that exhortation before service or when service started, I would get that. That's a good one. That's a powerful one. And what the Holy Spirit has said to me recently. Hallelujah. Amen. So we just turn you over to the Lord. Pray.